Hello and welcome back to Dial H for HeroClix. I'm your host, Calder Ness. This episode, we're going to be talking about a couple of new figures that were showcased this last week, Zombie George Washington and the Dinosaur Hatchling, as well as go over our IPF fundraising tournament, our 300 Modern Pulp tournament we had this last weekend, and answer some listener questions. Howdy, howdy, let's get rowdy.
So if you're looking for emotional satisfaction, my advice to you is seek professional
HeroClix
help.
I have the high ground.
Yeah, you may have the high ground.
It's over, Simeon.
Yeah.
Instant deadpan humor.
Over six people think I am funny.
I'm your Captain America.
That was just you in a costume.
You absolute fool.
Simeon will be able to edit that out.
That's cool because it's expensive.
I'm going to make HeroClix like that for everyone.
Are you kidding?
Wow, wow, wow. Dial H for HeroClix is brought to you by CoolStuffInc.com, where you can find cool stuff in stock every day, including all the latest HeroClix singles and sealed products. Make sure you check them out at CoolStuffInc.com. Joining, like always, in the studio is Simeon Bruce. What's going on, Simeon?
Ooh, another day, another dollar. That's what they say down in the podcast mines, at least.
Chipping away at audio and true crime or something.
Finding nuggets of audio that are just gold and people want to savor
anything we can do. Oh gosh, what I feel like we have the same thing that made us happy this last week, that being the tournament. So
yes,
I don't know if you want to toss anything out, go ahead. But
man, was there anything? The eclipse happened the day that we that was
neat. True,
we weren't in the path of totality, so I think it was like 80% ish here, but still kind of fun. I forgot about, like, I knew about it, and then I forgot about it halfway through the day, and then I suddenly was like, why is it suddenly quite a bit dimmer out? Like, felt like I put sunglasses on without putting sunglasses on, and then it dropped, like, 10 degrees, and I was like, what is happening? Like, everything got quiet. I was on the side of the highway in Iowa, like, near Shenandoah, and yeah, all of a sudden, like, no traffic, no noise, everything just, like, got real quiet, and it was, like, real dark, and I was like, what is happening? And then I was like, oh, that's right. The whole sun, moon, darkness thing.
That whole deal is today? Oh. All right, then. That is how it was, though, too. I was just kind of like, I stepped outside, and I was like, huh, it's definitely not as bright as it should be for 2 o'clock. Was kind of my first thoughts. I was like, interesting. And I was like, oh yeah, the eclipse. I didn't have anything to look at it though. I only had the one pair of sunglasses. I think they say 2 is what you want, or those little specialty shades they sell or something. So I don't know. I kind of tried to look at it, and I was like, yeah, okay. Well, it is cooler out. It's definitely. It really was just like dim. Like there was like a heavy cloud over the sun or something. It was kind of how it was. It was like, it should be like bright and shiny, but it's just kind of muted right now. Kind of neat. But yeah, that'll be about it. Let's go ahead and jump into a little bit of HeroClix news before we get to our tournament. 2 new figures were showed off this week. We have the Zombie George Washington that was April 1st. Ironically, not a April Fool's Day gag joke. But then slightly before that, we had the Dinosaur Hatchling. Simeon, do you want to go ahead and talk about that one?
Yeah, this one's pretty solid. I really like it. I think it's going to be kind of interesting slash maybe crazy in certain formats. So Dinosaur Hatchling WKE24002. It's got animal, brute, and past keywords, real name unknown. It's got a single trait that is they grow up so fast. At the beginning of your turn, and whenever Dinosaur Hatchling KOs an opposing character, give them a growth token. When Dinosaur Hatchling would be KO'd, you may instead replace them with a character with the animal keyword, turn that character to the first KO click, then heal them 1 click for each growth token on Dinosaur Hatchling. 45 points, full dial of sidestep, full dial of blades, 10 attack top dial, full dial of combat reflexes with some 17s and then 16s, 2 damage the whole dial with a special damage power that is too cute. Shape change, but succeeds on a 4-6. When Dinosaur Hatchling uses it and succeeds this turn, it can't be targeted by opposing characters. I don't know how much you really care about this guy attacking. I think it's just like you throw it up there. Oh, it's also tiny size for whatever that's worth. I think you throw it up against your opponent and you just have some crazy monster that it can potentially come in for. And it has to KO an opposing character, but like that should be easy enough because they either have to take care of this right away or, you know, you can feed it a bystander or something right away and then they right. have to ignore it because, you know, maybe you bring in a Wendigo or something.
I think probably the coolest thing is you can bring in any point value. There's no restriction at all. So if you wanted to say bring in like a 200 point Wendigo and let him heal up. I mean, I guess he can already do that, can't he? That's a bad example. But you can bring in a quote unquote like full point Kong technically just on lower. And it doesn't say the replaced character can't be healed or anything. So then you could like support him up or something. It's kind of cool. So I like Dinosaur Hatchling a lot. I think he's really funny. I think he's really cool. I don't think he's necessarily like competitive or anything crazy like that. But I don't know. I like the dinosaur feel for the year. I like that we're getting the Jurassic League. And to precursor that, we get a little tiny little baby dinosaur just popping out of the egg. So it's really cool. He's thematic. His appearance being the Mesoic era, 65-250. 252 million years ago being his significant appearance is really funny. So I like that. He's full of flavor. He's cool.
Yeah. Plus the sculpt is hilarious. It's just like a clutch of eggs with like a tiny dino head popping up.
Oh, it's hilarious. Like Ian bought one a few days ago and I was like, oh wow. He really is just really tiny little guy. It's really funny. I love that it's WKE, like WizKids 24 this year, and it's 002. So this is not the first, like, non-Marvel, non-DC kind of whatever LE specialty deal we're getting. There's going to be more. When we get to George, you'll see his level. There's quite a few more. So kind of curious to see what else they have in store. But Dinosaur Hatchling is just a really solid, fun piece. For those that participated in April Fools, maybe got themselves a George, he is 005. So we know there's at least a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So there's at least three more original characters, don't really know what to call these guys, but like properties that aren't Marvel, aren't DC, kind of open fair use type of stuff is going to be happening here. So there's at least going to be five. Zombie George is one of them. He's got Zombie Horde, Monster, Past, Politician, Ruler, and Soldier keywords. I was curious if they're going to end up giving him Ruler. He seemed very anti-Ruler, but sure, President rules the nation, I guess. We'll go with it. 75 points. He is a close combat beat sticks to charge piece, rolls on some flurry, gets some sidestep blades later. Charge quick, invincible, empower, top dial with flurry steel energy in the middle of his clicks, which is well timed since his last three, so 6 through 8, have regen, and then the next three, 5 through 3, have steel energy, which means he can at least heal back up to click 2 at the very least, which is really cool. He has his stock click at the very end is I cannot tell a lie, you're delicious. Stop, regen is free. Very solid. So he can regen is free, heal one less, whatever. Maybe go to click 6. Power action, regen, get him back up there. And then he's got a couple of traits. The first president and the first zombie. Leadership succeeds on a 4 through 6. When zombie George Washington uses it and succeeds, after resolutions, generate a grave hindering terrain marker adjacent to a friendly character. Grave markers coming back, ladies and gents. He's a little too high points to maybe be some tech for your Black Lanterns, but there are more grave markers that are happening and potentially more grave-related shenanigans. And then his second trait is zombie bites from wooden teeth. Poison, when zombie George Washington uses it, characters he hit this turn can't reduce the damage. So he's always dealing one by poison. Can't be reducing any of his poison damage, biting it with his wooden dentures. Kind of funny. So, pretty cool piece. He's no longer just $10 on the shop. He is now a kind of specialty promo where if you buy a countertop display of undead, you'll get him for free with that. So, I don't know if he'll appear in any other bundle or if this will be our last chance to get old Zombie George. At the very least, I suppose he'll be coming with hopefully. I guess no. Yeah. Yeah, probably, like, confirmed a zombie Lincoln is almost guaranteed in any box of undead. I was going to say hopefully a ghost of Abraham Lincoln, but he is a chase, you know, so maybe. There are a few other chases in that set, so it's kind of a maybe. But that's Zombie George. I think he's fun. I think he's cool. Makes me want to get at least like Thomas Jefferson and, oh gosh, Teddy Roosevelt to get our zombie Mount Rushmore in HeroClix. That'd be kind of fun. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. It took us quite a few years. It was like 2017 was the first undead. So it took us 7 years to get two presidents. Hopefully that theme does not continue. We can just get the rest of them. That'd be nice. But Zombie Turtle's fun. He's cool. Check him out. And yeah, there's also a Deadpool that came out this week. We're not going to go over that. Hopefully you guys enjoyed our last podcast last week where Simi and I interview the brightest minds behind HeroClix. We had Jake, Jimmy, and John on talking about set design and what goes into designing a set, not specifically figures, but like choosing what characters get to be inside a set, working with Marvel and DC, et cetera, et cetera. So if you haven't listened to that yet or watched, I should say, it's on our YouTube right now. It is our channel trailer video. So if you just go to our channel, it'll automatically start playing. If not, it's one of the most recent videos we have uploaded. So seriously, it's like a little 20-minute interview and behind the scenes with the folks that work at WizKids. It's really cool. Check it out. We're doing another episode this week. It is all about tournament organization, tournament play. And so we actually go over the Deadpool in that video. So if you want to hear us talk about that, as well as I have a few other people on, go ahead and check out that one coming out probably Wednesday, Thursday sometime this week. I'm unsure. But Simeon, Saturday was our pulp event, and ironically, I'll be using HC units to look at the team list to double check it. So what, I don't know, what'd you think of the pulp event, how it went and everything? We had 26 people. It was a lot of folks. It was a good time. We had quite a few, not only from our area, but driving out. I don't know. What were your thoughts on the pulp event?
Yeah, it was great seeing the South Dakota kids and Lucas and like the Phoenix Nest guys. Like, always great seeing them, but also seeing Ed and Seth. Don't get to see them as often, so that was cool. Seeing some Omaha players actually crack into the top eight was also very neat. But yeah. Oh, I guess one Omaha player, one Lincoln player. So yeah, seeing the guys from Lincoln, right, also a special thing. But yeah, the turnout was awesome. The venue did an awesome job giving us ample space. And yeah, I don't know. I thought it went really well for I don't want to say like thrown together, but for not having, you know, an actual like organization team kind of thing, we did pretty well.
Right. We're not tournament organizer guys. That's not who we are. So I was pretty proud of how well it went, how smoothly I think the between rounds went. The judge calls, you know, I think they went pretty well. There was only one time where I was like, hello, Anthony Barnstable, what does this mean? You know, so overall, successful day. 26 people, like I said, solid prizing. We ended up giving every player a broadsword. Everybody that showed up, participation prize was a broadsword and a Starro fight. We had a couple of, what do we call them, title matches. That was like the stream matches, and we'd randomly make some other matches a title match where we just put some extra prizing on the line, which is really fun. But Pulp is, I'm going to go over just Lucas's team. There's a few others. Well, actually, let me just shout out the top eight. So, eighth place, Grant Hollingshead. Shout out. That's a kid from Rainbow. We have Aaron McCoy, Doctor with his Doctor Stranger Things team, Omaha local, shout out. Seth Davis, Kansas City. Isaac Denke, another South Dakota guy with the Necro Bombs team. Tristan Halverson, playing Stunts by Ian Eggleston is the name of his team, which is pretty funny. I love that.
Stunt biking.
We had Richard, he was from Lincoln with the, I guess, team Target Alpha, I guess is what we're going with. And then Alex Mader, U.S. National Champion, Champion Clicks Open champion, second place with his Dice Manipulators team, and then Lucas Van Holland with his Drop and Bombs team. Now, Lucas's team, it's not going to sound too terribly interesting because that's just kind of what Pulp is. I'll read the list really quick. It's Blackheart at 50, Orb at 45, Mr. Sinister at 45, Doctor Strange at 40, Necron 40, Spiderling 40, Madison 20 points, and then Robbie Reyes at 20 points. So yeah, I mean, this is Pulp. That's Pulp, ladies and gentlemen. It's Orb, Sinister, Blackheart, Necron. Like, those are the Those are the top boys in Pulp. Doctor Strange, to an extent, also, yeah, it's super high up there in the Pulp play, so not too terribly interesting. That's not even a knock against Lucas. That's just kind of the Pulp format. You know, there aren't many Pulp events that happen, so we wanted to do this. We talked about doing a ban list a lot, but we just decided that there weren't that many Pulp events that happen anyways, so why have a ban list? But unsurprisingly, most teams are pretty dang similar.
I think the only one in top eight that's not running a Blackheart is Aaron. He was running similar stuff, Necron, Doctor Strange, Blue Marvel, but then he was also running, so he's running the Avengers 60th Strange and then the Avengers Forever Strange, and then also the Notorious 001 Lex Luthor for 50 points.
That was an interesting call.
Yeah.
To run that Lex.
I assume it's in case the, not Avengers 60th, it'd be the Avengers Forever. If Avengers Forever Strange can bring in Wong or Astral Projections, he can give them Superman enemy with Lex and have extra outwits. On paper, that's he only true. Has two characters that can benefit from that. But if that Strange starts bringing stuff out, then yeah. But yeah, he got into top eight without a Blackheart, which is impressive in a field that is very much like heavily.
I mean, Blackheart. Yeah, everybody else has Blackheart on the team. That's Jesus, crazy impressive. I do want to shout out a couple of new players that we had. We had Zane and Gavin, both very new to the game. Both played, had a blast. You know, we made sure to give them a little extra prizing, all sorts of stuff. It was really cool just seeing a lot of new people showing up. It was really funny. In Zane's first game, he won map, and he took his opponent to a Yu-Gi-Oh! Map.
Yes.
And when I walked past, I was like, ah, fellas, you're having a great time, and I hate to be the burden of bad news, but we cannot play on this and on that today. So, but it was pretty funny. But yeah, he played last Thursday night at Krypton, and I met him there, and I was like, oh, you got to come to the tournament. And I'm glad to see that he showed up, came to the tournament, and had a blast. So getting some new people into the game, it's always really cool to see just more new players. It's the best, being able to see more people join the game and kind of enjoy it. Gavin was pretty stoked about that Captain America Pegasus. He was like, whoa, man, does all this? And I'm like, yeah. So it was pretty cool, and yeah, we even played a couple of games later. So it was a blast while top eight was going on and everything. We made space, very respectful of our fellow gamers, maybe not HeroClix gamers, but gamers. We made some space for the Yu-Gi-Oh! Folks, made sure everybody was having a good time. So it worked out pretty dang well.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's also, the event.
I do want to, I don't know if we already talked about it, but Lucas has put a bounty on himself.
Oh, for, that is right. The
for
bounty.
This entire year, but it's at each event. He will put down, what was it, $10 or it was no $20, right? Can't remember if it's ten or 20. So if his opponent agrees, they'll put down their half of it, and then he will put down his half of it. If they beat him, they win like the pot. If he beats them, then they get like he keeps the money. And so for this event, we raised an extra $140 because Lucas was doing that. Almost everybody challenged him when he offered it, and he went undefeated for the day. So, yeah, it was really fun since he's technically the reigning silver champ, world champ.
Pulp champ. It's kind of wild. I was like, man, is he ever going to lose the title? I know we kind of joked about, like, oh, man, what prizing are we going to give Lucas? Ha, ha, ha. We were, like, figuring out, like, prizing for, like, first place. But then, yeah, he ended up winning and then also retained his Pulp Championship. Never lost a single day. Never lost a single round, I should say. A single game that entire tournament. So, big shout out there. Raising more money for the IPF. Always a good thing. And it was kind of a fun thing. He says he's going to try to do that at every tournament, whether it be a Pulp tournament or not. Just kind of doing it, whatever. I don't know if he's going to be doing it as much on online tournaments. There's not as many happening anymore. But he's going to be going for it. So, it's really cool. Shout out that day. Actually, minor thing, another like to toss on what made me happy this week. When Ian and I got back to the house, we watched From Dusk Till Dawn, starring George Clooney. Have you seen this?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. George Clooney and
Quentin Tarantino.
Quentin Tarantino, yeah.
His brother. we like clicked on it and it says like, oh, it's a vampire movie. And I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah. We watched so many bad vampire movies.
Weird vampire movies.
So weird. If you guys have not seen From Dusk Till Dawn, highly recommend it. Go check it out on HBO Max. I was like, instantly it gets you in with like action and everything right away. And you're like, whoa, what are these guys doing? What's going on? And then like, I don't know, about 20, 30 minutes in, I'm like, Ian, I don't think this is a vampire movie. We were like starting to be like, I'm pretty sure like how sometimes the descriptions of movies get messed up on streaming services, you know, like that must have happened because this is just like a thriller about whatever, like a crime thriller. And then the vampire stuff happened. And I was like, oh, my God. Like okay.
It's like crime heist drama kind of thing. And then at like towards the very end, the vampire stuff finally starts happening.
And then it's just
wild.
Yeah, so insanely wild. And I'm like, I'm not going to lie. I don't know. I would have been okay if it would have stayed a crime thriller like the entire time because it was doing that really, really well. And then the vampire stuff happens and I'm like, okay, but I don't even hate that it's vampires now because this is awesome and kind of wild in its own way. Just like such a... I couldn't imagine watching that movie in theaters in 1996 or whatever and being like, yeah, I don't know if it's a... Like not knowing it's a vampire movie and then 30 minutes in... when Selma Valak, I forget her name exactly, something like that, she turns into a vampire, spoilers for whatever. I'm just like, geez, so jarring. Yeah, it's just wildly jarring when that happens. Oh my gosh.
Gosh, what's his name? Danny Trejo's in it.
And
yeah, becomes a very ugly vampire.
Very ugly vampire. All the vampires are very ugly. This is not like Dracula and very cool looking. It's like these are like alien vampires, like really... Like gross-looking, ugly vampires in this movie, but yeah, that was like perfect way to end the IPF day. We also got Raising Cane's with some of the Rainbow Kids, so that was pretty dang fun chatting with them, having a little Caniac combo, you know. So it was a great way to end a good day. HeroClix, fun tournament, giving out all sorts of cool prizing and everything, and raising money for the IPF. If you're not already going to Worlds, then consider going. And if you are international and saying maybe it'd be a problem to try to get a flight there, well, then consider going to the IPF Facebook page, check out the pinned post, and enter to try to win a paid trip to Worlds, a flight, your travel costs paid to Memphis, Tennessee this September for the HeroClix World Championship. That's what the IPF is all about, getting international players to the HeroClix World Tournament and making it a truly world tournament. All right, you want to go ahead and jump into some... listener questions here, ladies and gentlemen. These are all from our Discord. Once again, Patreon plug. If you want to join the Discord, you got to join the Patreon. And if you want to join the Patreon, you got to make sure it's at least $5 or more in order to get the Discord rewards. We got one of the best HeroClix communities in our Discord. Pretty much everyone on our Discord will tell you that without even me having to tell them to tell you that. It's just that freaking good. So consider supporting us. And consider just supporting the show. We've been able to do all sorts of cool stuff with Patreon. We get a lot of really cool tokens handed out, given away to everybody. We do a lot of cool monthly giveaways and everything. Just consider supporting us. That's where all these questions are coming from.
There are dozens of us. Dozens!
Alex the Enchanter asks, I just learned that underneath all the autotune, T-Pain is actually one of the greatest singers alive. Okay, interesting. What's a HeroClix figure that you kind of overlooked at first blush? And then you played it or played against it, and it truly surprised you. That is a good question, Alex. Do you have anything for that, Simeon? Think
played against it.
Like this is kind of basically seeing like a hidden gem almost. Yeah. Where it's like, whatever. I feel like Spider-Man is that for like Spider-Man Prime is that for a lot of people, where I think a lot of people wrote him off and like, wow, he's like the best.
Kind of overlooked when you played it or played against it. I'll say like a slightly older one, but Mary Jane from Spider-Man Venom Absolute Carnage. Oh, on sure. Paper, it was like, oh, okay, like, doesn't do much, like, makes bystanders. But then, like, once you realize, like, I don't know, once it started getting played a lot more, and then you realize, like, the action economy that it had and stuff, it was like, oh, this is actually insane for 15 points. Maybe some people saw it right away, but I definitely was just like, it's like a cool, like, gimmick thing. And then after playing it, I was like, oh, this is kind of abusable. So
actually just does a stupid amount of stuff. I guess I'll go for an older pick as well. The War of the Realms Rocket Raccoon, when I first kind of saw him, this is like the winter energy explosion, his whole outwit that like pings someone for a damage and all that.
Oh, yeah.
I like completely wrote him off, and then like he really messed up my team 1 week, and I was like, oh, dang. Maybe this Rocket Raccoon is
the
pretty
first
dangerous.
Time I played against that was at the Kokomo event, and yeah, getting... I minimized it a little bit, but like seeing how deadly he could have been had I been running like literally any other team, that was kind of crazy, yeah, because it was just that animal team back in the day.
That animal team was so good, too. Oh, shout out, Ethan. Ethan loves his animal teams. Wesley R. asks, Inspector Gadget Iconics, what would you like to see in that?
Man, if they're going to do it, I want it to be like the Happy Meal toys that we got where it's like build a figure. You get the arm, the leg. I don't know. Is there anything Inspector Gadget can't do?
I know his like big thing is got to have the propeller hat, right? That thing. That's, I feel like, the most iconic. Maybe some bendy arms. Right. But the propeller hat is up there. I don't know. It's been so long since I've seen any Inspector Gadget media.
He was like a Deus Ex Machina thing where he just had whatever gadget he might need for that situation. He would just pop it out.
Yeah. Ultimate pick a power piece. Is Inspector Gadget the ultimate pick a power?
I think so. Figure? Yeah. I feel like some crazy pick a power or like really solid version of like Shifting Focus would work too.
Okay. Go Gadget blank and then boom, choose it. Who's his villain? It's like the Claw.
Yeah.
Right? Dude with the big old claw hand. Gotta have the claw. Gotta have his villain. Cat. Oh, yeah.
He has like the little white cat that he's always
been. Yeah, that cat. Gotta have a cat. So. I think he's, a little three-pack. Make up at least a cat bystander, maybe, and then boom. You have your Inspector Gadget iconics. I don't know, outside of, like, the main villain and then Inspector Gadget himself, any other characters in the Inspector Gadget universe. But I would say those are the ones to have, the ones people want. Wesley then asks some more iconics questions here. Matrix 5 is officially in the works. What do you think about a Matrix iconic set? You know, in the way that, like, playing Heroescape, the secret agents were very much supposed to be, like, Matrix-looking people, I think it'd be sick to have, like, Matrix characters in the game. A Neo that, like, kind of sucks and, like, gets better would be cool. A Morpheus, that'd be sick. Is it Agent Smith? Is that Hugo Weaving's character?
Hugo Weaving, yep.
Okay. Yeah, gotta have him, and then, like, I don't know, multiple man type ability, maybe. I think for poses, we have to have the most iconic pose of, like, him dodging bullets, or not dodging, but, like, the bend over backwards, like, Neo dodging the bullets and stuff. And then for Hugo Weaving's character, the hand outstretched with, like, a wall of bullets being stopped would also be really sick. So I think that would be really, really, really cool. I've only seen the first Matrix, so I don't know about 2, 3, and 4, I guess.
Yeah, so that the first Matrix... The Hugo Weaving thing where he, like, multiplies. I think that's the third one.
Okay. Well,
where, like, Smith, like, starts... infects the other agents, and then he starts, like, infecting all the other programs in the Matrix to, like, copy himself. The first one... I mean, obviously, yeah, you get, like, the crew of the Nostromos? Then I don't remember the name of their ship. You get, like, the crew that breaks Neo out.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The second one, for some reason, I remember that, like, there's the twins, the weird ghost twins that could, like, phase through walls and stuff.
Oh, okay. And
Morpheus had, like, a samurai sword in that one. So that's what I remember from that one. Then the third one, they do, like, the big battle scene where, what's the name of? Zion is the name of the city. The machines break through... like the walls into Zion, and they've got those giant like mechs with two like giant cannons that they just start blasting like the machines down with. Those would be pretty sweet. I don't know how you'd do that without doing like a 2x2, but
yeah. Well, another Kong iconics, but it's those massive things. Maybe I gotta watch the other Matrixes. I don't know. Everybody always said they just get way worse after the first one or something like that. So I was like always scared to like
first
watch
one's
it more.
Definitely like peak. I think the second one's the weakest, and then the third's like a little bit better. But yeah, the first one's just like the best story wise because it's like part like the start of the hero's journey. You never want to like see the hero get to like the point where everything's just like stupid easy and he doesn't have to worry about anything anymore. Unless it's One Punch Man, then that's where it starts.
Okay, right on. Next up, Wesley asks, Next Phase has a handful of desirable figures, but is mostly considered a whiff by the community. Is it the characters or the dials that make it a miss? If you took these power sets and gave them to a character that are more popular, would it make a difference? Or is the set just a miss altogether? Personally, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. I think it's just the characters. I think if you give like all these common dials to comic book characters or something like that, people's tunes would be, I think, completely different. I really do. I think if you make like Donnie Blaze into some, I don't know, cooler magician that then makes demons, people are like, wow, this is so neat, you know, versus being like, what a useless piece. Or you take all the Abomasnae and you just make them maybe completely different characters, something quote unquote cooler characters, you know, then I think the community would be like, wow, what an awesome set. I purely think it's just like lack of interest in a lot of these Disney Plus shows is what some people, I will say some dials aren't the greatest, you know. I'm really pretty bummed about like the common shifting, like Moon Knights, not in love with those, and a handful of others. Don't get me wrong, every set's got some rough dials, but I think the main reason Next Phase is getting like so much flack, besides maybe like the what's it called, the misprints and everything, is probably just because character selection. I think people would like it a lot more if it were just comic characters, same dials but just different characters, and I think people have a totally different tune.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think having like the Abomasnae when like they could have fleshed out some other characters a little bit more, and then there's also like I think one of the things that people really loved in the first Disney Plus set was the What If characters. Like obviously, yeah. WandaVision was cool. We had Loki, and then we had What If. We didn't have any of those in this one just because of timing or whatever. But like season two, Loki wasn't there. WandaVision obviously never got a second season that like that turned into a movie. And then What If season two, that like started after this set was announced or after the set was like released. I don't remember the timing on it, but I feel like What If season two was just way too behind to be added. But there's like so much cool stuff in that I'm sure like I was hoping for, even though I knew it wasn't gonna probably be in there.
Yeah, I mean, the timing of What If season two being so close to set and people getting their hopes up, when like realistically 2 months before a set is set to like release, no way, you know, for What If season two. And then like, not that there was really much to pull from Echo, pretty much what you could pull from Echo was like already in the set, being just Echo and Kingpin, so like that's not really a big miss there. But then yeah, like it just, the character selection just wasn't as great. I definitely think the one improvement I could think of is, say, maybe get rid of some Abomasnae or some of like the extra characters that are printed several times in the set, and maybe do like the rest of the Hunters from the Werewolf by Night stuff. I think everybody pretty much agrees the Werewolf by Night stuff is some of the coolest stuff in the set. I want to say,
I think
probably
so,
yeah. Everybody like things like that way, at least I think it is. So I think if you like were to do all the Hunters, even though they don't get that many lines or really do too terribly much, some of them die pretty quickly, some of them have some characteristics where you could say like, yeah, the big, I think the 100 like dies almost right away, but he talks big game to Jack Russell a bunch, and then he has like a big axe and stuff. So there's definitely plenty, I think, to do with those characters. It would have been nice to be able to see all those Hunters and maybe even the generic guard guys that were in the Werewolf by Night. The, I don't know what you call them, the Bloodstone guards or something. The fodder, basically, that Werewolf by Night just wrecks in the last half of the special. But that would have been really cool. Just more Werewolf by Night stuff, lean into like the cool, the really neat properties. That'd have been really fun.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I'm just hoping they continue making them because
I hope so.
Disney Plus is like a really good avenue to pull interesting stuff from. And I'm surprised. Like, have to assume at some point we'll start getting like MCU like movie property stuff again, right?
Hope so. I really hope so. At the very least, for some of the upcoming films, if we do end up getting like a Secret Wars, like please, it'd be awesome to get some movie stuff for that. If we do end up getting, I mean, we are, Thunderbolts is filming, and then Captain America Brave New World. I would love to get sets of that stuff. Like, it would just be really freaking cool. So I hope we start getting like MCU movie stuff again. We haven't gotten any MCU movies since Eternals. And I think we can pretty much guarantee like gravity feed sets are pretty much dead. We haven't gotten one of those since Eternals either, which was old sculpt sizes. So I don't know if they are going to make new sculpt size like gravity feed sets. And that's how movies have primarily existed, was through gravity feeds. So fingers crossed. I would really love it if they did a Infinity Saga, you know, 10, whatever it is, like 13. No, like 16 years now, 16 years of Marvel movies or something like that, and do a Infinity Saga, like full booster set, Iron Man 1 through Endgame to now even would be pretty awesome. So like something like that. There's a ton of just MCU content and it would be great to get all of it. But at the very least, yeah, keep making the Disney Plus sets, because What If Season 2, I also like Loki Season 2, and then what's it called? X-Men 97 has been.
Oh, yeah.
An awesome ride. So like I think people are definitely hoping we get some of that, because this is like, you know, pretty borderline the coolest we've seen some of these characters in X-Men 97. Cyclops, I think arguably this is like the coolest Cyclops has been, as someone that doesn't read X-Men comics, in a while. You know, I don't know, he's doing a lot of really cool stuff with the beams and I'm really liking his character in it. So
yeah,
it's really fun, and like the animation's incredible.
Whoever made the like artistic choice or like the directorial choice to have him use his beams defensively, like to maneuver and stuff,
was very
fun, very cool.
That was that, yeah, just all episode one, letting Cyclops go nuts in that room.
Does open a question. It's like
wild.
Is his suit equipped with some sort of adamantium like neck brace, or is he just constantly giving himself like whiplash, like slamming his spine backwards like that?
The strongest neck in the Marvel universe, Scott Summers, I guess. Because yeah, no kidding, dude, the force it has, ugh, nuts. And then Wesley asks, forgot to do this, with Deadpool and Wolverine around the corner, design a 200 point fanboy dial for Deadpool and or a duo figure for Deadpool and Wolverine.
Oh man,
we might have to come back to that one. May have to I have to save that one for later, because it would be kind of fun to do it. But
as far as duo, I think a good starting point would be looking at the Wolverine X-23 duo, taking something like that, updating it, getting it to that 200 point level. But yeah, that's a big one. That's a big question.
I think you could definitely make a 200 point like Deadpool fanboy dial with the whole healing, regeneration, all that jazz. I think it'd be a pretty easy one. I don't know. What I mainly hope we get from Deadpool Wolverine, or Deadpool Weapon X, I should say, is that we just get a Deadpool that is classic, I shoot people, I stab people, Deadpool. You know, some regen power, but mostly like shooting, stabbing. Because all the Deadpools we've gotten since like the last Deadpool set have just been kind of just goofy, fun little Deadpools. Like Cake Deadpool isn't just normal shoot, stab Deadpool. Geez, what's it called? Waterworks, whatever, floaty Deadpool, not like a normal Deadpool, you know.
The duck
really
floaties.
Hope we get like duck floaties. Like I hope we just hope we get a really classic, I shoot people, I stab people, merc with a mouth Deadpool. That's what I'm really hoping for. So yeah,
I agree. Yeah.
Carnage Bruner asks, what legacy card would you want most for Deadpool and the X-Force set? Maybe not what you expect to be in the set, but the one you'd want most. If you were to pick any, making sense for the set, of course. I mean, I think it's got to be Web of Spider-Man Deadpool. That's
got to
be my number one.
The super rare.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what about you, Simeon?
Most for Deadpool and the X-Force. Deadpool and Bob would be like a pretty like shoe-in one for me. That's like a classic like duo. Honestly, like, there's a lot of stuff from the first Deadpool set, like the Headpool, Dogpool, Kidpool, like all that jazz was pretty fun. And they're, I think all of those are like commons and uncommons. Man, Deadpool Weapon X. I'd really like to see, because the X-Men Xavier School Cyclops got legacied. I'd really like to see the Xavier School Wolverine get legacied in some form or fashion. I think that's a amazing sculpt and good dial. They just have to work around like the ID card portion of it.
Do you think it should be the approach of that same like Scott Summers like Cyclops figure, where it's just has a completely different function than it was before for that Wolverine? Because that Wolverine's like,
Let me look at him real quick.
Charge, flurry, mess you up, you know. And that Scott was like running shot, shoot, destroy blocking, mess up your main guy. And then he very much became a more like team oriented, team player type of character.
Yeah, I don't want to like lose the. So when he's closer to your starting area, he can use combat reflexes. When he's closer to the opponents, he can use flurry. I think those are two powers that make a lot of sense to have on his dial in some form. So if that was just traded, he can use flurry and combat reflexes, or if it just stayed the same, I think that's like the one thing I would keep like for sure the same. And then I do really like the stay away from my students. That's like free, make a close attack, but only to target someone that hit a friendly character with the X-Men. That's very in character. That makes a lot of sense for both of them. And I always liked that part. So yeah, like that gives them, obviously the stop clicks have to remain stop clicks. And then that just gives them the one final trait to find something else to do with him. I don't know what you would do exactly with that costume. Like there's nothing, like there's not a specific thing that you would have to do with it trait wise, but I don't know. It gives you a lot of options not using ID cards. Saves a lot of text not using that stuff.
100%. Luke asks, in recent talk, Dial H had with WizKids, they mentioned that some sets don't need to be based on a team or a story arc, like Avengers Forever or Next Phase, but they can focus by really being a love letter to the character, like Wheels of Vengeance being a love letter to Ghost Rider. What character do you think has the least represented family of characters in HeroClix? And then I'll kind of add, like, that would make for a good, you know, love letter to a character type of set. This is a tough one.
Least represented family of characters in HeroClix. Could be your boy. That seems...
Honestly, see, that's... I'm just like, I'm trying to think of somebody else besides my boy, but really... I think back like of the last time.
Pretty unflicked. Like, yeah.
Yeah, like, okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll go. I'll pop off, I guess. Captain America, we have so few of his actual characters that make up his, I guess what you would call like the Captain America family. We're missing just a ton. So, and the ones we do get don't often share a keyword with Captain America. Ranted a few times to other people, I think we could get away with having like a Captain America Corps-esque kind of keyword, a Captain America family keyword, like Asgardian or Stark Industries. Because really, really, you look at how few people get Stark Industries nowadays, I think we could do a Captain America one. But yeah, like we still don't have a Diamondback that like works specifically with Captain America and their time together. Like people just kind of associate with Cap just being an Avengers, like, oh, an Avengers set, that's a Cap set, but like not really. There's versions of the Falcon we still don't have, there's versions of Steve we still don't have, like Nomad but like a lot. There's the exoskeleton suit when he loses the serum. There's several different costumes, wondering the like hidden Secret Wars. We could revisit some older teams that he was on. Invaders, All Winter Squad are very unfleshed out teams, and at this point super old, like not like there's barely any Invaders, let alone classic Invaders. I would love to get a classic Namor Invader. We haven't gotten him since the Nick Fury set. We haven't gotten an Invader's Human Torch since even way before then. Even these last couple of Jim Hammond Human Torches have been more of a modern Human Torch, and those aren't even legal anymore. We haven't gotten Bucky Cap in a very, very long time. We have gotten Jack Monroe Nomad once, but that's when he's like Lone Wolf Nomad and not like Sidekick to Captain America Nomad. We haven't gotten a John Walker Cap in a long time. That's not been MCU. So you could really flesh out a ton of Captain America stuff. There's a lot of people from his early run where he had an apartment and his like girlfriend at that time, or other people in his apartment building who were like firefighters. There's also a great current cap run that's happening. I didn't like it at first. I'm kind of growing on it. And this could be a fun figure, but Doctor Strange gives Cap an action figure to like that Doctor Strange can like talk through every once in a while. So there's a point of the comic where Captain America just pops off the figure's head and puts it in his pocket so he can keep talking with Doctor Strange without having to carry the action figure around. It's really funny. But there's tons of Scourge. Gosh, the many iterations of Scourge. There's a ton of stuff. Bucky's been Winter Soldier way too often in HeroClix. I think we deserve a new classic Bucky, one that actually feels like Bucky, and then a Bucky Cap is like super duper long overdue. But you could really flesh out a ton of Captain America's different stories, like Paladin. I could go all day, but I really think we are, I won't say overdue for a new Captain America set, but the last one left so much to be desired that if we truly wanted to flesh out like characters, and now that there's the Captain's Network, you could do all of those. So maybe that could even be the keyword. You could do some Captain's Network characters in it, even though that storyline was kind of weak. Ian Zola, shout out to all the Ians out there. I only know one. But Ian Zola has only been made once as Nomad and not as his like newer version. Again, still Nomad, but a different character. And Arnim Zola from that run is one of the best versions of Arnim Zola ever. That'd be really cool. There's a ton of Caps. I could literally rant for so long. There's like so much Captain America stuff that is completely untapped that could 100% get tapped into. So I think that would be, that'd be great. Yeah. Don't have to sell me on that idea.
I'm still trying to think of like, we had two Fantastic Four sets, and it's like that the whole like set of, is there the family,
right?
Most like X-Men, if you just like add more X-Men, that makes sense, that's fine. Gosh, I'm really like drawing a blank when it comes to
my only other
Doctor Strange, like,
ooh, there you go,
like him, Wong, Clea is like, really the only like three that we ever get regularly. And yeah, he's got like a whole bunch of other cadre of partners and people that he teams up with and stuff.
And what was Alex saying in the Discord? There's like a Doctor Strange school almost, right? That's what like the storyline Bats is from. So you could do a lot with that, I'm sure.
Yeah. Some what is it, Comartage like generics and stuff. Some trainees.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you could flesh out quite a bit of Doctor Strange, really. One of the other characters I thought could be fleshed out was like, man, what about a Punisher set? And then I struggled to name like any character besides Microchip that like,
right,
is a like Punisher like ally.
Soap, the one female FBI agent lady.
Yeah, just
not,
like
not Rachel. The other one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was like, collabs.
There's the people from the apartment that the Thomas Jane Punisher was like based on.
Oh yeah,
he's got a lot of good villains. All right, well, I should say interesting villains. They're not good because most of them die. Like, obviously,
I was about to say, yeah, Punisher doesn't really have a great reoccurring
no
rogues gallery. I just know of
cadre
the
of villains as Darkface, the Peacemaker show says.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So,
yeah,
I guess you could do. You'd have to flesh out a ton with like Marvel Knights stuff. Is probably what would have to end up being. But yeah, Luke, I'll shout out Miles Kane does give his answer, and he says Aquaman could be a really good one. And yeah, we've gotten two Wonder Woman sets, Gravity Feed, a main set, a million Batman sets, handful of Superman sets, you know, tons of Justice League sets. We've never gotten an Aquaman set. Got some Green Lantern sets. Maybe if we finally get old Aquaman his own set, a very, very sea creature based set.
Yeah.
And then last question, Spidey Luke asks, do you think instead of plus one to Super Senses roles, should the Spider-Man TA / Wonder Woman TA just give protected outwits? No. I don't think, definitely not. Maybe if you said like just protected outwit for Super Senses, even then I think the plus one's like fine. It gets annoying at times, that's for sure. The plus one to Super Senses. Super Senses is already such a strong power. But definitely shouldn't give protected outwit. That's really strong. Got to be reserved for the Cosmic Boys. Spider-Man ain't on the Cosmic Boy level. Most times.
Yeah. I think Spider-Man Prime, where he has like protected outwit on like a power that includes super senses, is good enough. So Yeah, I don't like the idea of a super senses that can't be outwitted all the time. And I also, I really don't like the boosted super senses either, because it does get really annoying. But the one benefit is there is like that one power that counters it completely, and that's, outwit. Because precision strike doesn't completely get rid of super senses, so need something.
Exactly. I'm pro. We revert back to 2013 precision strike with no super senses, no mastermind. Can be multi-targeted, still reduced below one, all that. I want OP precision strike back. I missed overpowered precision strike. That was a good time for me. I loved it. Bullseye, just hitting three people for one, no mastermind, no senses, nothing. Good time. It's a good time to be alive. But all right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Those are all the questions we have for the show. So remember, if you want to write in any questions and you're not on the Patreon, you can send us an email at dialhforheroclix@gmail.com or send them to us on Facebook, Dial H for Heroclix Podcast on Facebook. Not already subscribed to the YouTube channel, make sure to go check it out. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're going to have all those really cool WizKids podcasts are going to be uploaded there, as well as you can see all our cool videos and live streams whenever we go live. Shout out, San Antonio, Texas is another IPF tournament you guys should definitely go to if you're in that area. And that is going to be April 28th. So make sure to check that out, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I got for you.
And keep an eye out on their channel. Now I'm drawing a blank.
Alpha Strike,
jeez. Keep an eye out on Alpha Strike if you want to watch and see like how that tournament takes place, what exactly people are playing. I assume it'll be very similar to what people played at ours. Nothing new's coming out, so unless they just got a completely different meta down there, I think we'll see a lot of the same. But if you would like to get into some pulp, you know where a good place to do that is? CoolStuffInc.com. That's right. You can pick up all the singles your heart desires, common through rare. That's what you need for pulp. So check them out at CoolStuffInc.com. They've got the latest HeroClix singles and sealed products. As of yet, still no Kevins for sale, but they have everything else. And if you use code DIAL5, you can save 5% off your order when you order through them. Or you can go straight to the source at shop.wizkids.com. Use code DIALH10 to save 10% off. That's how you get those dino hatchlings, and those resurrected George Washingtons, zombie Washingtons, whatever. Use code DIALH10 when you're shopping on shop.wizkids.com to save 10% off some of your HeroClix orders. It's mostly just the older sets and things that aren't specialty items or like pre-orders, but it does work on some stuff, so might as well try it.
And ladies and gentlemen, for all your HeroClix needs, videos, podcasts, reviews, and more, make sure you dial H. Like always, happy trails.
So if you're looking for emotional satisfaction, my advice to you is seek professional
HeroClix
help.
Ooh. Not going there.
That's how numbers work.
Over six people think I am funny.
I'm your Captain America.
That was just you in a costume.
Well, the rest...